Okay, Omer, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Lama Nismachu, Ohalim, Unachalim. So as we finish Tes Lama Beis, go to Tes Zayin Amad Aleph, he asked the question of why is it written the words Ohalim, or what is the connection between an Ohel, a tent, and Nachalim in streams?
A brook.
So where do we find these two words next to each other? It's written pasuk kenachalim nito, with just like the brook that are set up genot ale nahar, like the gardens that are by the river. Then kuahalim nota, just like the tents that are planted. So what do we have over here? You have the word ohalim, tents, and then you have the nachalim,
right,
brook or streams. So the question is why...
A nahar is really a river.
A nahar is a river. But
right. A nahal is a smaller than a river, right?
Smaller than a river, right. So that's the question. What does a stream have anything to do, or a brook or whatever, have anything to do with a tent? Now before we get into the answer, it's interesting, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here. We looked at this Rashi, believe it or not, there's an argument as to what the question of the Gemara was. Rashi says, Ohalim l'necholim, right? Mm-hmm. So, tents, streams. K'necholim nityo k'ohalim nata. So, he says that, what's the question? The question is that we find, the Pasuk mentions Nachal, and right next to it mentions Ohel, which is basically the pasuk that we just quoted.
Right.
Believe it or not, Tosfos has a question. Doesn't agree with this question of the Gemara, or disagrees with Rashi. Perish HaKuntras, the explanation of the notebook, because Rashi used to be in a notebook form. Dechsid, the pasuk says, "Kenachalim nitu ko'ahalim not." That's the whole Rashi, right? Mm-hmm. So Tosfos says, "No way. That's not the question. That's not the word that is chosen. V'lim nira, I hold, de ohalin, de haikra, lav lashon oel, el lashon b'sum." When the pasuk over there, it talks about ohalim. Over here, in this pasuk, ohalim nata, it's not really talking about the typical ohel that we're familiar with, of a tent. Rather, it's referring to some type of a plant. Because if you read the pasuk, doesn't make sense otherwise. Ko'ohalim nata. You don't plant tents.
Well, right? You could look at it. You put a stake. So you're planting a stake in the tree. So you might say, but you do plant this because you have to plant the stake.
That's true.
That's not going to argue with Tosfos, but I mean...
That's how Rashi reads it.
That's probably how Rashi reads it, though.
Absolutely. But Tosfos feels that it really is referring to some type of a plant. Or
the
spices.
Spices,
some type of spices which grow from the ground. Elenira, I, Tosfos hold, mid the samech, because it's written next to the famous pasuk, Ma tovu ahalecha Yaakov, right? And then immediately afterwards is this pasuk which says, L'kinecholim nito. So this is how I learn the question. It's not based on this whole pasuk, Kinecholim nityo, and then it continues and says Ko'ohalim nata. No, it's really Kinecholim is the second part, and the Gemara just doesn't bring down Matov Olecha Yaakov.
Right.
So that's the question.
I have a bigger question. What does this have to do with what we were learning before? Where is this? Is like from left field. Before we're learning about Gehenna, and a person says Shema the right things, then he holds Gehenna away. And if you say it the right way, slowly, there's no Gehenna. That's what we were learning about. How does this speak? How does this come in? What's the shaykhus of this to the Gemara? Where this is completely, the whole thing is from like whatever rivers of summon, the whole, where does this come? We were talking about that if a person says Shema with the right cadence and slowly, that's how we got a thought scroll.
Yes.
That it's that it keeps Gehenna away,
right?
So how does this? What does Gehenna have to do with the Cholim, the summon, all the what is? This is like completely out of left field.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I was hoping that the person who said this said the Gemara before. It's not the same person at all. So hopefully the answer of this Gemara will maybe have some connection to.
Oh, I know, but it does. It's Rav Chama. Because if you look before, we were talking about Rav Chama, Kol HaKorei Kriya Shema Medakdei Ba'Osi Oseha, and here is now again Rav Chama. Rav Chama, Rav Chama, Rav Chama, Rav Chama, it's the same Rav Chama guy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, look. Before it says, Amara Amir Chama Rav Chanina, Kol HaKorei Kriya Shema Medakdei Ba'Osi Oseha,
okay.
Sign and Logan, okay?
Right.
So, and now they come back again with Rav Chama Bar Chanina. But why is Rav Chana, just because Rav Chana was so this, they bring him down again?
I was looking at the two dots above and I couldn't find his name, but you're right. So, a lot of times, the traditional answer is, oh, once we mention
we're
his talk, name...
We bring about this guy, we'll bring all his other shtick, whatever he's talking
right,
about.
Right,
okay.
But probably, there's probably a better answer than that. So maybe when we get to the Gemara's answer,
okay. We'll
understand it. But before we move into the Gemara's answer, you have to ask the question, why is Tosis... care. Like, who cares? What's the difference? What the question is, that whether the word the nachal is taken, the word ohel is taken from Mato Alecha Yaakov, or it's taken from the end of the pasuk of Koahal and Nota. Who cares? What is Tosas say? Oh, Rashi, you're wrong.
Right.
What's
so important?
So it's brought down that it's interesting if we look at Tosas as being very sensitive to the question. Omar Bicham of Rav Chanina, Lama Nisbechu Ohalim Wenachalim. Now, what's the order over here? Ohalim Wenachalim. So, which the first?
As Ohel.
Ohel, then Nachalim.
Right.
So, Tosus looks at Rashi and says it can't be the way Rashi says, because Rashi is saying that it's all derived from this pasuk. That pasuk starts off with the word Nachal, then it says.
So, reverse order.
Right, so therefore, that's why some say the Tosis was compelled to pick Matobo Holecha Yaakov.
Right.
So you have the Ohel first, and then Nachal, which is exactly the Lashon of the Gemara. Lama Nisbach Ohalim Nachal. That's how some.
Okay.
Obviously, Rashi would say that's true, but you don't even see the Pasuk of Matobo Holecha Yaakov
right.
at all.
Yeah.
So he was based on the reading. So that's either way. So that's the Gemara's question. What does a stream or brook have anything to do with an ohel, a tent? So we have to understand what a tent is. Lavacha is to tell you, ma nechalim, just like when it comes to bricks or any natural body of water, ma'al nesa adam, mitumma l'tahayda. It brings a person from the status of being tameh to tahar. It's a mikvah. So you can go into
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
Af ohalim, so too when it comes to the ohel, doesn't refer to any old tent. It's referring to specifically the base medrash, as Rashi says, of
the
very
tent
Rashi.
The Torah, study role in our academy.
Like Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshe.
Yoshe Ohal.
Right. So it means the base medrash, learning. Malin is on them, Mikav Choyva, Vakaskos. It brings a person from. A lower scale of being judged disfavorably to being judged favorably. So therefore, that's the idea of doing this act of being involved in an ohel is just like being involved in going into a mikvah. That it changes your status. It improves your status.
Tameh to tahar.
So maybe, which I don't know if this is true, if you'd want to say that this is connected somehow to the previous Gemara, talking about if you're medaktik b'osi oseha, that also changes.
Exactly. It changes from Gehenim, from have a cold Gehenim, from a hot Gehenim, to a whole cold Gehenim.
Right. So maybe that's also, that could be possible.
How they're trying to...
Some type of a connection. Okay.
Gotcha.
Fine. Whatever. So that's the only way you can possibly derive. But that's the end of this piece of Gemara. There's a very fascinating explanation over here, which is very worthwhile saying, that it's brought down by the words of the Chidah. Only a couple lines I'll share with you. The Chidah says, based on this Gemara, it's coming to allude to an important concept, that just like a brook, metaher bli kavana, if a person, he has to shayla, what happens if you go to a mikvah, but you're not thinking, you're tameh, or let's say a woman who's in need, she goes into the mikvah, she goes into the ocean.
We say the ocean is a good mikvah, but if you have zin, or you have the shema, that you're, this, I'm going into the ocean for a mikvah, so what they're saying is if you go into the thing and you don't have in mind your putter, it's like saying Shema without having Kavana. Is that what they're trying to...
The Chidah says, Yefilu im nafla nida bli kavana, also la tefila. It's a good tefila.
Okay.
So Like technically, you go to the beach.
Right. When you go swimming in the ocean and you're in your 7 days and the Kiyam is over, then it's okay.
Right.
Even if you didn't have it in mind.
Correct. That's what he says. That's that he takes for granted. And he says that just like that, just like when it comes to the stream, the brook,
right.
So too when it comes to the ohel, when it comes to Torah study, gamkin mitaharis gam b'li kavana.
So the whole Indian of lishma him is not important.
It has a direct an impact upon you. Natural.
But he's saying, but you don't have to do it. I'm not sitting down. If you just walk into a base medrash, you hear them learning Torah or whatever it is. You hear the rabbi's speech on Shabbos, and you hear words of Torah. That's good enough. Even if you didn't have the Shema, that you're going, I'm sitting to learn just for learning's sake.
Right. Just by putting yourself in that environment will have a positive effect in some fashion. And then he continues, brings on the Smichas Chachamim. He says, if you look at the Shas, the last of the Siddurim is Taharos, right? And the question is, why is it called Taharos Lashon Rabin? So he says, on one hand, you can say it's Taharos because it's different forms of becoming Tahar, such as a person being Matahir through a mikvah or the Paraduma, etc. But he says that's really one aspect. He says that's one way of becoming Tahar. The other is Chelik Nosif Alidei Lima Torah. So therefore, taharos, a person can be matahir oneself, not just by going into a mikvah.
I mean, spiritually, as opposed to
right, not actual right.
Right.
If you're actually tameh, going learning Torah is not going to be matahir.
Right, right.
But the concept of purifying yourself can
purifying
be accomplished.
Soul.
Right, can be accomplished in more than just a way of actually physically going into a body of water, to a mikvah, by learning Torah has that same powerful effect. However, it's brought down on the base Yosef, and after this we'll move on. He says that this davka be'im hoisa tefila kahogin, only if you go to the mikvah properly. Halo hoisa kuroi, if you go in improperly, o tovel v'sheretz biyado, you're holding on to a sheretz, while you immerse yourself in the mikvah, oz lo mahani, then it does not help. The fact that you're going into the mikvah and you're holding onto a sheretz is not, you haven't accomplished anything. And he says, actually also quoting the words of the Chidah, there's Gemara's over there, the bottom right, just like when a person goes to the mikvah, it could be done without kavanah,
right.
But on the other hand, if you're holding on to a sheretz,
then
it's ineffective.
Not. Well, but even if you had kavanah, you're holding on to sheretz, what's the
correct.
What's the
correct, correct. So, correct. But it's saying also when it comes to the Torah, if the reason why you're learning Torah is you're holding on to a sheretz, while you're learning Torah, doesn't mean literally you're holding a sheretz.
That you're thinking
you're
about
looking,
something else, you're not concentrating.
Right,
you're
right. It's a negative, you're doing it's something negative or whatever, then it will not have an impact, a positive impact on you. So that's another way that it's comparable. So okay, let's move on. We're up to the two dots on test Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay? Alright. Hakor l'mafreya lo yotza. So this quotes our Mishnah way back, well not too
right.
far back. And apparently it's yeah, and there's no machlokas over here. Everyone holds that if you read l'mafreya lo yotza. Okay, which apparently means different.
You read the part of the Vayam Shemoah, that out of order.
Out of order, right.
Okay.
So then you've not fulfilled your obligation. So test Zion with Aleph, fourth line from the top, fifth line from the top. Rebbe Ami Rav Asi, Rav Ami Rav Asi, Havika Katrin Le Genanda Rav Lazar. Rav Ami Rav Asi, which one of the things I always found fascinating when I was the one time I was in Israel is if you would look at the burial place of Rav Ami Rav Asi, which if my memory serves me, I believe it's near where the Rambam is buried. I believe in that same basic forest. I'm sure you know much better than I. But I never got over how Rav Ami Rav Asi, they're buried that you have one camera's like this. And the other one is like that. It's
like
an
perpendicular?
L. Yeah, like they're touching. Like
right.
One is this way and one is this way. They're like touching like that. Which is like always like very amazing. So whenever you have Rabbam, you need to
Rabbam. Why was that talk of what direction to the farm was supposed to be in?
I don't know, but obviously it was alluding to something about how close they were as colleagues to one another. But I don't know. I mean, if you'll Mir Tashem, you'll go there one time. You'll notice this, and it just shocked me.
They're in Brooklyn. My grandfather and great grandfather was almost like that.
Like an L.
Or something. Yeah, well, but there's a slight difference in the road, but they're perpendicular to each other.
Really?
Yeah. That's so, the one on Ocean Parkway,
Washington.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of when I think of Rabban Rabasi. But so they
did that because we knew the Russians were coming.
They limited him the road.
No.
So what was Rabban Rabasi doing? So he had this difficult word that they were capturing the leg. None of this. Rashi helps us out over here.
They're a canopy for the wedding.
Yes, Rashi says koishrin tying chupa lasia isha. Okay, they were tying up and preparing a chuppah for Rebbe Lazar. So Rabban Rabasi probably can get any old guy to do it.
But
they wanted to be right. They want to be engaged in this particular mitzvah of building a chuppah on behalf of the great Rebbe Lazar. So Armulahu, so as Rabban Rabasi were building this chuppah for the chassan, he turned to them and said, you know, what am I doing? I mean, I was waiting patiently, wasting my time. Out of the in the meantime, Ezel the Eshma Milsa, the Beit Midrash. Let me go and I'll hear some words of Torah from the Beit Midrash. The AC, the Amelchu, then I'll come back and I'll tell you, you know, because I'm not accomplishing anything and you're busy building. When I come back, you'll have learned something.
I'll teach you the Torah.
Right. So to me, is another fascinating thing is who is speaking over here? Who's the one that's speaking? This is Rebbe Lazar, correct? Right. Rebbe Lazar is apparently about to get married. It's not 100% clear if he necessarily was getting married that day. I think the simple explanation is he was.
Right.
He was, and yet he's thinking moments before he's about to get married, oh, you won't let me chaperon, let me run to the Beis Medrash, maybe I'll learn a halacha. You know, that's the only thing on his mind. That's the forefront of his mind. So, anyway, that's what he said, and Ozol, he went, Ashku Atanam, he found one of great Tana, the Katani, that he was learning Kemeder of Yochanan. They were learning in front of Yochanan, and he said the following. Kar B'tah, person read and made a mistake. And now, the Enyo Dei Lehechen Tah, you don't remember to where you made that mistake. So,
how did he know that he taught if he doesn't know where he made the mistake?
He caught himself. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the Mishnah itself, the last words of our Mishnah, is Kar B'tah, Yachso L'makom Shetah. You have to go, you read and you made a mistake, go back to where you made the mistake. Right? So it means you know. So in this case, you just have an inkling, you just know, I read something wrong. I'm somewhere and I don't know where I am. I'm completely confused. I'm completely lost. I don't know what I was saying. I was half asleep when I was saying, this is of course the Shema, I'm not really sure what to do. So it depends where you've caught yourself in the Shema itself. So it's Kar V'tah V'ini Yodei L'Hechen Tah, you know you made a mistake, but you just don't know where you made that mistake. So B'emsa Perek, if right now you're in the middle of the Perek, you're in the middle of a chapter, so the literal critical reading over here is Yachsel Rosh, go all the way back to the beginning. Which sounds like if I'm in the middle of paragraph number 3, Yatzel
Rosh. Beginning of paragraph number 3, not the beginning of Shema.
Well, Yatzel Rosh generally means go
to
back
the
to the very beginning. But
couldn't it mean go back to the beginning of that paragraph?
So if you look at the Masoras HaShas over here, which you see there's on the word LaRosh, there's a star, there's an asterisk. Do you have that in your Gemara? On the word LaRosh, there's a star. So if you go to the right, in the small font, the Masoras HaShas tells us that you should not you go to the beginning of this,
right?
Because otherwise, why would you have to go all the way back to the beginning?
Right.
So therefore, Laskolas Aparek, go back to the very beginning of that paragraph. So let's look at Rashi for a second. Maybe that'll make more sense. Rashi has the Girsa of the actual Gemara of Yachsol Rosh, third line from the top, Kigon, Shahaya Yodeya, you know, Shema Perik Zeta, I know I made a mistake in this particular paragraph.
The D-Lives made.
Right? And I skipped something in this paragraph. Well, Eni Yodeya, but Eni Zemokom Bota, I did not know in which place I made a mistake. Apparently, Rashi holds you have to start all over, but over here again, you should only go back to the beginning of that paragraph where you know you made that mistake. Okay. Continuing the Gemara. Bain Perek Leperek. So you're now in between a paragraph, which means you're between paragraph 1 and 2 or paragraph 2 and 3. So, Yasso Leperek Rishon. Then you should go back to the first paragraph. What does this mean? So see Rashi. Shiodeh Shigamar HaParsha. You know you finished one paragraph. Asarach Lahaskil Parsha Acheres, and you need to begin another one. But Yodeh Be'ezman, you just don't know which one. So you're stuck in between. I'm in between either 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. I just don't remember. I can't remember which paragraph I'm in the middle of. So he says, Yasso Leperek Rishon. What does it mean? Doesn't it mean go back to the first paragraph, the beginning of Shema Yisrael, Yehavta. Rather, if we see Rashi says in Yatzel Perek Rishon, Lahaposik Rishon, Vahoya im Shemoa. Okay, that's what it means. When it says Perek Rishon, it doesn't mean go to the beginning of the first paragraph, it means go to the end of the first paragraph, which is really ultimately reading now the second paragraph on Shemoa. So, because that's taking your chances. There's a chance I'm up to Bahayim Shemoa, or there's a chance I'm up to Vayomer. You know what? So say, worst comes to worst, so you say Bahayim Shemoa one more time. But otherwise, you might not have said it at all. Maybe that's where you're up to. Okay. Continuing more. Being Ksiva L'Ksiva. You're between Ksiva and Ksiva. What does that mean? So look, Rashi says, Being Ksiva L'Ksiva, Shiodesh Tzarech Lomer Uksavtem, you know that you needed to say Uksavtem, and you said it, right? Let's say I said Uksavtem Amuzuzos B'Sef V'Yishrafam, V'Eni Yodeh Im Rishon Rishani, right? Because we say it two times, right. End of the first and the second paragraph. So what do? Similar to what we said before about you're not sure which paragraph you're in between, Yasal Uksiva Rishon, go to the first Ksiva, right? So because maybe that's the one you're up to. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says it's not always the case. Not always do you need to go to the Ksiva Rishona. Lo Shanu El Shul Pasach B'Laman Yirbu Yameichem. The only time you should go back to the first Uksav Tam is only in the event that you did not say the words L'Laman Yirbu Yameichem. However, Abba Pasach L'Laman Yirbu Yameichem, if you did say those words and you're stuck, right there, you said, L'man Yirbu Yameichem, and now, where am I up to? The chances are, Sarchi Nakagasi, probably his habit grabbed hold of him and he continued, which means that even though you weren't paying the attention, but if you said L'man Yirbu Yameichem, the chances are you probably didn't say L'man Yirbu Yameichem after the first paragraph, you probably said it at the end of the second paragraph. That's probably where you're up to, because you're accustomed to saying something which is fluently a habit coming out of your mouth. Since you're always saying the L'man Yirbu Yameichem act at the end of the second paragraph, that's probably what you did in this instance as well. Asa mi'omulahu, so he came back, and he said all of these halachos back to Rav Amnon and Rav Asi. And Amalei, they turned back to Belazar and said, Ilulo ba'anu el shmo davar zeh dayenu. If it was only that you had come, and we would have only have learned this one thing, Diana would have been enough. In other words, the fact is, we could have been learning Torah. We could have been in the base of Medrash, but the reality is, we wanted to be able to be involved in the midst of building Chobo.
That's right. It's very important.
But at the same time, but in the back of our minds, we thought, you know, we're building this Chobo, it's very important, but we're losing out on Torah. So now he says, you know what?
I will stick with a mitzvah puppet.
That's true. That's true. But now that they're able to have learned Torah, they say, you know what? We've accomplished both.
Right.
So therefore, we're extremely satisfied with the choice that we made. Okay, let's see Tosis. Akara Shema V'yinu Yodeh Lehekin Toh Chayzer L'Rosh. What
does that literally mean that's the Dibur HaMatchil of Tosfos? You read the Shema, you don't know where you made a mistake, go back to the beginning, or as go back to the beginning. So Perush Mitam She'en Yodeh Mehechem Tav, because you have no idea where you are. So if you have no idea where you are, go back to the beginning. If you know for sure, you know where you made the mistake, Shadile Teva or Pasuk, you know for sure you skipped a word or maybe a Pasuk for some reason in the middle of paragraph 2, I forgot to say a Pasuk. I know that was a Pasuk I didn't say. It's not necessary for me to go back and say the entire second paragraph, because after all, in the middle of the second paragraph, I missed the pasuk. No. Tosu says that it's only necessary for you to go back and say that.
What is Tosu's bring a finish here? Because the Gemara is saying the Eina Yedelecha, he doesn't know. So here he did know. So you don't have to go back to the Chachilah. What is he bringing to the fore over here?
Not only that, you can ask strong. You can also ask another question on Tosos. The very last five words of the Mishnah is Kar v'tav. If a person read and made a mistake, Yatzel Malkum Shetav. Go back to the place, which is basically.
Right, the Gemara says the Eina doesn't know. So what do we need Tosos to come along? And as they say, Tosos betrayed Hasbushal, which
right.
Just doesn't make sense. Don't
right.
We trying to give you something to make
self-explanatory,
right? Right.
I cannot answer that question, but you're right. On the surface, it sounds like it's something which could easily deduced from the mission itself,
right.
But or from the Gemara itself. Okay, there's an interesting halacha that the Taz brings down. So that we're going to be starting the mission in a few seconds. At least we'll see some or part all of the mission. We'll say the Taz asked an interesting question. It's brought down the Yoredeya. The question with regard to a woman that. She bashla basar. She cooked meat. V'shacha im molcha osolo. She cannot remember if she
salted
it. She can't remember. Did I do? There's the hadacha. There's you have to rinse it. You have to salt it. She doesn't remember. So what's the problem? Obviously, if she cooked it without salting it, there's blood in it. It's tray. You can't eat it, right? So what would the Taz paskin? You'd think maybe the Taz would say you can't eat this meat. Because unless you're sure that it was salted, you'd be very strict. So no, the Taz says the habasar mutar. The Taz holds that if you're not sure whether or not you salted this meat and she cooked it, it's still mutar. Why? And he says, I don't know if he says or he says the kamo de isa be gemara kan. Is exactly the same idea, and not everyone agrees this is the same idea, that to the Gemara which we just had. The Insarach Lachsor, that if you said, Laman Yirbu Yemechem, do you have to go back to the first Uksavtam or the second? You can assume you already
right.
Said the second. Why? Kivan, that Tsarchi Nakad Vasi, because we are people or creatures of habit, and since we. Probably when we say Laman Yirbu Yemechem, we said thousands of times, it's only after the second paragraph, so therefore continue on from that point, you don't have to repeat the entire second paragraph. So the Taz learns out from here.
A woman normally salts, so you gotta take
right.
The thing is that she did it again.
Right, exactly. So he learns out from here that this concept can apply to other halachos as well, not just when it comes to the reciting of the Shema. Now, not everyone agrees to this, and the reason, for example, if we look at the Rashi, the last Rashi before we see the Mishnah, Rashi says Sarche Nakat. Rashi says Ein Litos, and you did not make a mistake. Mikan Ad Emes V'yatziv, which basically means Bein Sarch Lasar El Emes. Shaparsha Shigur Befiv. So, in other words, he's saying, let's say you finished the third paragraph, you finished the Shema, then you weren't sure, did I finish the Shema? But in your mind, you're like, I said Laman Yirbu Yemechem. So, since you said Laman Yirbu Yemechem, it's understood that you've probably finished the entire second paragraph. Now, based on the last three words of this Rashi, he says, Shaparsha Shigur Befiv. This particular Parsha is something which is fluent. in one's mouth. And he says, especially that it's not just said once a day. It's said
right.
continuously, twice a day, whatever, day and night. Therefore, Rashi would, according to some readings, would disagree with this opinion of the Taz. The Taz is talking about a situation where this woman isn't sure if she's salted, but she's not someone who cooks and whatever every day necessarily. He's poskening simply straight across the board. If you don't know, don't worry about it. You don't have. You can still eat this meat, which shouldn't be the case because maybe this din only applies to something which is done continuously, like the reciting of the Shema, unlike preparing and salting meat, which in this particular situation, since he doesn't specify, is not something which is necessarily done all the time. Okay, so that's one reading. Not
well,
everyone agrees
with this. The principle of that if you do something 101 times, you
right.
say that it's
right.
become a habit and you're doing it, would that apply? And if so, would you like to say in something like this, or say if it's someone who hasn't cooked much, a new bride, someone who did all the cooking before,
right.
if she's done it 101 times or something like that, that you could assume she did it and she's done it less than she's been with?
Yeah, I mean, the whole 101 times is an interesting thing. It's because it's all connected to 30 days.
Right.
Right? 30 days. So the din of like saying Mashiach Baruch Hu Geshem for 30
right.
days
exactly.
apply also to cooking for 30 days?
I went through that and I tried to figure out the number of times.
Yeah.
And in fact, it doesn't come out.
No, I didn't need that thought about it.
Which ones? Mashiach Baruch Hu Geshem?
Yeah.
Because it's also Muslim.
But even taking into
Muslim.
So you have 30 days, right?
Yes.
So 30 days. With the 30 days, you sing it three times. And Muslim is only four Muslims, right?
Why
so
four?
And four weeks in a four Muslims.
You have
okay, you have five. You have Rosh Chodesh.
And you have Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah. And possibly you have
two
Rosh
Chodesh.
Six. So it's 96.
Or
99 if it's a 31 day
but
one.
If it's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, one of those days really belongs to the other month. I mean, that you're saying that the count for the month is a 31 day month. This is a 2 day Rosh Chodesh.
I have to look it up.
Yeah, right.
So
maybe
I'm
thinking about it. So you have
90. 90
and
plus.
Assuming that you have four Shabbatot and none of them are the Shabbos is different than
right.
Rosh Chodesh, which
right.
is not always. And then even if you have another extra 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, even giving it the benefit of the doubt, I don't think that can actually happen like that. But so you wind up with 96. You wind up with 96. You still don't have.
Could be 97 if you have. The Shabbos falls out five Shabbos in a month.
I think I don't think that that's possible.
You can't have five Shabbos in a month.
You can, but I don't think that that's possible for the 30 days because we have five Shabbos in a month. Somehow it turns out that there are only certain days that you can have Sukkot fall on. You can have Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. I mean, there have to be certain days of the week, but certain days they can't be. And I think that to get the five Shabbat, it has to be on a day that it can't be. But I'm not sure. But even if you did, you still have
97.
So you still have 97. You still have 101.
I have it written down somewhere that there, it's 101, but it may not be by Mashiach Baruch Hu Geshem, maybe by something else where that number is calculated. I will hopefully look it up at one point and get back
right.
to him.
There's got to be something else other than that.
There is a that's I can't remember who says it.
That situation, the number doesn't work.
According to Mashiach Baruch Hu Geshem, but we'll have to look it up for something else. All right. So, yeah, it's not Mashiach Baruch Hu Geshem. I think it may be. All right, whatever. I'll work on it. Anyway, so. That's the question. Let's move on to the next Mishnah. Let's at least touch upon the next Mishnah. Maybe let's just read the Mishnah. There's a lot to talk about. We'll read it and we'll call it a day. The Mishnah says, "Ha'umanim korin b'rosh ha'ilan u'rosh ha'nidvach." It says that these workers, they're on top of
the trees.
A tree, or rosh ha'nidvach. There's a question exactly what this means. Rashi translates, "Nidvach" as a binyan shelavanim.
A wall of stones.
Wall of stones, right. So they're on the top of these things. You're allowed to recite the Shema, Korin, right? You're allowed to, when it comes to Zman Kriya Shema, they're allowed to say it right where they are. They do not need to get off their tree. They can stay on the tree, by the trunks, or the branches of the tree, and recite the Shema there. Masha'enon Rishon Lasos came.
b'tfila.
Which makes sense.
And Rashi says, why not by tefillah? He says, the salusa rachmei.
Because you could fall, you have to stand up for tefillah. With shema, you can sit down. You could be sitting on a branch.
Okay.
Shachar kubach, you could be sitting down to
true.
Say shema. But when you say tefillah, you have to stand up. If you're standing on a branch, you have a good chance of falling off the branch.
Right, right. That's basically what Rashi says. Rashi says that the salusa rachmei, that davening is connected to compassion, asking Hashem for mercy, and boy kavana. When it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei, you need Kavanah. The Shema, you need Kavanah by the first sentence. Shemoneh Esrei, you need at least the first whole paragraph, you need to have Kavanah. Hilkach, Enos, Spalim, Rosh Elon, Rosh Nidvach. You cannot doubt at those two places. The Mustafi, you'll be concerned, afraid, Dilma Nakli, you'll fall. The Enyachon, La'amun Shom, you can't stand there. El Aliyat Chak, under extreme circumstances. Umachmas, because of your situation and being in such a place, you're not going to be able to have the Kavanah, and therefore when it comes to these workers, they need to get off either the tree or the wall to daven. And the Mefarshim asked the question, why does it need to give two examples? Why does it have to mention Rosh Elon and Rosh Nidvach? Can't we just get the message from both of one of them? Take your pick. So the Mefarshim bring down, it's brought down the Beis Yosef, saying outside, that the difference is a Beis Elon at least has a tree, has branches, it's a little stronger and more secure. You can maybe hold on to a branch. You can
right.
Maybe. So when it comes to, and a Rosh Nidvach is just a wall,
right.
Which you can easily fall off of. So the Chiddush is on both ends. What's that? When it comes to a Rosh Nidvach, you would maybe think you can't say even the Shema on it, because a person would have zero Kavanah, because you're completely exposed. Right, even by the Shema. And the reason why it mentions the Rosh Elon is that even though... by Tefillah, exactly. Even though maybe you could hold on to it, it's a little more secure, even by Rosh Elon...
You still can't afford Kavanah, because... You know,
exactly. So that's how they work. That's... two of them to learn on opposite ends of why we need two examples. That's what Horsham said. Chasan, Patr Mikrishma, Laila Rishona, so there's no more Rashis. So we'll just see the Gemara. This what to talk about, we'll just see this, and we'll stop at the end of this Mishnah. Chasan, Patr Mikrishma, Laila Rishona, does not have to say the Shema on the first night. The Ad Motzei Shabbos, this is referring to the chassan who would generally marry a besula on Wednesday, and he would not have to recite the Shema until that following that Motzei Shabbos. He mo asa ma'asa, which he didn't perform literal.
Yeah,
sounds like,
the marriage.
Right, that's what it sounds like. Some of the Farshim aren't exactly sure if that's the absolute meaning, but that certainly is a simple explanation. Umasa b'mergamuel shenasa isha. And there's a story of Rabbi Gamliel who married someone, Vikaro Laila Rishona, and he read the Shema on the first night. So Omer lo Talmidav, so the student said, what's going on over here? L'matanu Rabbeinu, you taught us, our teacher, you taught us. Shechasan Patr Mikriyei Shema. So how could you have said the Shema? You said the Chasan Patr Kriyei Shema. So Mohem, so Rabbi Gamliel said the famous words, Eini Shemei Lechem. I will not listen. I'm not going to withhold myself from Malchus Shema even for a moment.
This is
Kriya
Shema,
regular Kriya Shema. Because regular Kriya Shema at least has to have some element of Kavanah. However, a Chosan is unable to have the proper Kavanah, and he explains a couple of reasons. He's Tarid. He's Tarid in a mitzvah. He's preoccupied, not able to think. Right. Exactly. And not only is he involved in a mitzvah, or about to be, but he's tarid. He's thinking and worried. And some of the reasons why he's tarid is because he's concerned that maybe his wife is not a basula. Maybe she'll end up motzi shemra. And for that, as well as other obvious reasons, he's potter until motzi shabbos. We'll stop.